5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom. We're live. ASM Podcast is back on. Last one, it was beginning of March. Episode 33 is episode 34. It's been a while. It's been a minute. Took some time to reflect, some time to think, some time to analyze a lot of things, and just bunch of fights, bunch of old fights from UFC, and back on it. This past weekend was a great fight. It was the UFC 236, and wow, it's just amazing. This Calvin and Adesanya co-main event and main event was Dustin Poirier and Max Holloway, both for interim titles. You know, I kind of agree with Dana White when people criticize interim titles. I don't see why fighters still want to, you know, become champions, and if this is a way for them to get closer to become a champion and unify the division, why not? And then on top of that, they get bonuses, they get money for the pay-per-view, for the sales, whatever, you know, they get bonuses and points, which that's kind of out the window now, because pay-per-view is now exclusive on ESPN Plus, on the app, which is sort of, that's the new era, the new direction they're going to, because of the digital streaming. But, you know, I don't see how it's going to interfere with their pay, or how it's going to, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird because when they sell money, when they sell on pay-per-views, they're $69 or $64.99 or something like that on pay-per-view. It also depends if you want HD, it's $70. So, you know, 500,000 sells times $70, $70, a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Like the last one, the last big one was Conor and Khabib was $2.4 million. Buys and preview, so a lot of money for both of them, for both Khabib and Conor. So it's a little tough to see whether it's gonna affect on the fighters, their pay, especially if they're champions. So yeah, well, I guess UFC and Dana will both have to. I'm pretty sure they both figure it out, whether, you know, give them bigger bonus or redo their contract or whatnot. But I'm pretty sure the fighters are not gonna, hopefully they will not see a bad reflection on their paycheck because of this switch to digital pay-per-view on digital and app. I was trying to watch the fight. I was trying to get it. I have the ESPN Plus, and I was trying to figure out how to buy it, and I couldn't get it working. So I had to rely on Instagram and YouTube and Twitter accounts and all that stuff. Luckily, I've seen some fights already. And but yeah, it's not. I'm pretty sure they're gonna get it taken care of, because they should have not have this much of an issue by now, but they, you know, obviously they did. I'm just gonna go right down the main car for the UFC 236. Owenson Pru versus Krylov won. Owenson Pru, a veteran and a warrior for the light heavyweight, lost. You know, he's 23-13-0, and Krylov, I mean, he has 25-6-0 on the record, but, you know, round two submission. Walterweight bout, Dwight Grant won decision. He beat Allen. And for the light heavyweight, another light heavyweight, a lot of, I think it was two light heavyweights and one lightweight and middleweight on the main card, which is, I mean, more balance for the light heavyweight. Khalid Runtrin, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, won against Anders. In the main event and co-main event, Calvin Gastelum and Israel. Israel won on decision, 5 rounds. And the main event, Dustin Poirier won decision as well. I think they're both good decisions. Both the right guy won on both fights. For the Gastelum and Israel, what a crazy fight, man. It's just, if you know, the bare knuckle match versus Knight and Artem Lobov, you see their face all scarred up and all that, but just taking note that, yes, it looks brutal, but they were bare knuckle, right? On this one, they had gloves, I think it was about 8 ounce or 6 ounce of glove, and their hands were still taped up. So it's a little cushion, and look at their face, you know, and yeah, man, you want to be a fighter, you want to be a mixed martial artist, then go for it, man. That's what you want to do. Look at this fights, not just this, the past two and a half months, the knockout of Wonderboy, the knockout Darren Till, it's like, you know, what are you, that's insane. It's insane. I think I'm missing a knockout. I'm trying to think while I'm talking. But, yeah, it's, you know, you want to be a fighter, look at this fight. You know, if that's what you want to do, then go for it. You know, I've been looking at these fights and I'm like, man, you know, if I would have catch on early on, like mid-20s or early 20s, I would have definitely do some amateur fights. I know that I will throw myself in that. And whether I will succeed or not, that's, you know, up in the air, and that's a big if, because it didn't happen, and I'm pretty sure it would not happen. I got more to lose now than I did past then, in the past. But yeah, so I'm trying to think. So it was a knockout with Wonderboy, got knocked out. Darren Till got knocked out, and it was someone else got knocked out. It was like 3 knockouts in a row. Michael Johnson got knocked out too. Is that it? Or is there one more? I'm pretty sure there's one more. I don't want to be quiet on while I'm doing this episode. But yeah, it's just amazing, you know. One knockout up to another, and then UFC 236 liver crazy. Well, King got knocked out, but I think, you know, Jesus, I don't know what else can you possibly say about Gastelum and Israel. It's just two great fighters, crazy fight, you know. It can go either, you know, going into the fifth round it was 2-2, and then obviously in the fifth round Israel had more gas in the tank, and he dropped Calvin like 3 times. But He fought through them and like a warrior, like a, you know, like a true MMA fighter. He lasted to the last minute, to the last second, to the end of the fight. And that last round, whoever was going to win that round was going to win the fight. And and Israel won. And now, I think he's six fights in or seven fights in the UFC. Now he's an interim title holder. He's going to go against Whitaker. It's going to be a great, great fight, especially if they do it in Australia or New Zealand. You know, UFC should do it in New Zealand. New Zealand will fill up the stadium. But, you know, I'm pretty sure they're doing it in Australia. I think they owe Australian people their title fight. So they're going to do, I'm pretty sure. Hopefully, Robert Whittaker will not get injured by then. You know, I think he's going to take this fight really seriously and pace himself on sparring and training that he will not get injured. And gusto, man. But I think what they should do is the Robert Whittaker and Israel Adesanya fight, September or November, who the winner will take on either Jacaré Souza, and they should have one fight for Gastelum. If he wins, then he gets another title shot. You know, I think he deserves another title shot because he had his title shot. He was going to become either lose or become the champion in Australia, but you know, Whittaker got injured, so they did the interim title for show, for money, for publicity, whatever you want to put it on. But they did it. He agreed on it. He signed on the dotted line. So it's not his fault. It's not Dana's fault. It's no one's fault. They both agree. They're grown men. They know what they're doing. And like Dana said, if you are for your fights, take him. If you don't, someone else is going to take him and you're going to lose your opportunity. That's just the way it is. And I agree with that, you know. Of course, if you're injured or you got surgery and you're not 100%, then don't do it because you just get it. Your stock's going to go down. So you should be smart about that at the same time. Dustin Poirier and Max Holloway. Max going up to 155. I thought that he was going to win. I had him going in winning. But Dustin Poirier, man, I mean, those 20 plus fights in the UFC, or not just in the UFC, but in MMA record, you know, comes to a play and comes to aid him in it. And especially, he's a true 155 pounder. Max is cutting down his whole career to 145, now cutting to 155. You know, Dustin look a little bigger than Max, and both winning the same weight, 55. So, you know, Max is gonna go down to 145 again and fight his whatever matchup he has going. Frankie Edgar, I don't think Jose Aldo is gonna be back on it. Brian Ortega is still in the mix. You know, it's a bunch of fights for him at 45. You know, still a couple fighters that he can clean up the division and go up to 55. Dustin Poirier, man, you know, he rocked Max in the first round, almost took him out, but didn't. Max fought it off like a champ, and now, you know, he's the interim title holder, goes to go against Khabib September, and, you know, it's going to be interesting. Both, you know, one wrestler and one striker, we'll see. I think Dustin is pretty good on the ground too, so it might be his toughest opponent, Khabib's tough opponent, but they're both going to be tough for each other, so you can't really say, you know, what's going to happen. But September, it'd be a great fight. Couple fight news. John Jones, Thiago Santos, Anthony Smith, and Alexander Gustafsson. Holly Holmes, which I'm a big fan. I was just watching her fights yesterday against Ronda, and then automatically lost the title against Misha Tate. Just crazy, crazy, crazy. What a kickboxer and boxer she is. Jesus Christ, she will knock your head off. Imagine being her boyfriend. You're going to fuck around on her, shit, good luck, man. Good luck. You better fucking clean the dishes, you know what I'm saying? Gonna go against Amanda Nunes, which is a double, it's a champ champ. It's fucking, everybody's a champ champ these days. And who else? Kevin Lee, RDA, for the 70 pound division. Kevin Lee going up from 55 to 70. It's an interesting move. I mean, Anthony Pettis moved up to 70 and he knocked out Wonder Boy. Kevin Lee, reason he moving up because no one wants to fight him. It's hard to believe that. Kevin Lee, I'm a big fan of Kevin Lee. I'm a big fan since the Tony fight, the Barbosa fight. And now he, you know, he just lost to Alaquinta twice. Not in a row, but twice. At the beginning of his career and now. But he's the type of person that when he loses, especially against Alaquinta, he has excuses for it. He would not admit that he lost. So I'm a big fan, but sometimes you gotta admit, okay, I lost that fight. I gotta see what I did wrong, right? Maybe he did, and he's just saying it like, no, I didn't think I lost it. You know, the decision should have gone to me. Maybe that's the perspective that he wants you to see. You know, he doesn't want you to see him as a fighter that's gonna accept the defeat, which is, by all means, is great. You know, if you know, you should always be motivated for greatness. If he wants to say that, even though internally it's not the truth, but he wants to show you that he's okay, that he, you know, it was that the fight should have gone to me. That's, you know, that's perfectly understandable. Which I think that's the case. I mean, you know, if you run it back, he's gonna see, okay, this is the mistake that I did. This is the mistake that I did. Blah blah blah. And you know, you'll learn. Who doesn't learn from a loss, right? Ben Askren against Jorge Masvidal. Tyron Woodley against Robert Whittaker. And a couple fights. Henry Cejudo and I think it's Moraya or Morales or something like that. A Brazilian fighter, Moraya, I think. It's gonna be great, man. It's gonna be for the 35 pound belt, which is TJ Dillashaw vacant because of he's a positive EPO. You know, that's something that I wanted to talk about and touched about. You know, being a competitor, you know, I am a competitor, right? And whoever, like, that's what I wanna go in full circle with Kevin Lee, you know. He doesn't wanna admit the loss and lose, right? Because there's no good loser. You, like, you know, Hicks and Gracie said, you show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser, right? If you show me a good loser, I'll show you a loser. Basically saying if you're yourself, like if I'm a good loser, then I'm a fucking loser, right? That's just the way it is. In competitive world, that's just the way it is. If you're in sports and competitive, you do not want to lose. You don't sell yourself for a tournament or for any type of games to be the second best. You want to be the first. If you're not first, you're last. That's just the way it is. Competitive people, that just, that's the mentality they go in, and that's how they become successful. From any sports, from soccer, like from Pelé, Ronaldo, the Portuguese, Ronaldo the Brazilian, Maradona, Messi, you know, all these great soccer players, they want to become the best. They don't play to be second place. They play to be the first. Brazilians, Argentinians, German people like that, Americans are like that. You know, even though the soccer team is pretty sucky. But other than that, you know, look at the baseball team. Look at the football team. Well, they don't have football like World Cups, but they have baseball. They have basketball, gymnastics, and all that kind of stuff, like the Olympics. They're always on top rank for medals. Basketball, Jesus Christ, you got LeBron, you got Michael Jordan, you got Kobe Bryant. It's like, you know, they're competitive. They're competitive edge. They're mentally strong. They don't hate being second place. And then going in full circle with TJ Dillashaw, he's a competitive person. He was crying because he got dropped in the Henry Cejudo in 40 something or 30 something seconds in the first round. You know, he cut down to from 135, he cut down to 125 to fight Cejudo and become a champ, right? Because now everybody wants to be a champ. Ever since Conor made it as legit as he could and profited out of it, everybody's shooting for that champ. It's kind of fucking annoying now, but it's, why not, right? If you're a competitive person, why not? Sure as hell I would. I'll be going, you know, I can, the way that my body is, and now that I'm, you know, past 30, I can fucking go up to 215 and cut all the way down to 170. That's heavyweight, 205, 85 pound, and 70 pound. That's three weight divisions. And I'm 6 feet. Now, my ass will get handle heavyweight. Because I got to stack up. And I'll get fucking slow and lazy. Not slow and lazy, but slow and sloppy. Other people, other fighters are going to be heavyweight. They will fuck me up because that's just the way it is. I'm going to go up their weight class. 205, I will have a hard time. Because look at John Jones. He's tall. His skinny legs. His elbows are crazy. No, I'll get my ass handled too. Anthony Smith. Look at all those fighters. They're like 6'5", 6'6", 6'4". They cut down to 205. And then once they make weight, they get jacked. They get super jacked by the fight night. So, realistically, my weight class would be 85, 70. I don't think I would do 55. I don't think I will be able to cut down to 55. That's too much of a cut weight if I ever will fight. But, you know, it's just crazy for him. He walks around, he was saying he walks around, you know, 70, 80 pounds, but he cut down to 135 to that's his weight class, and then he cut down extra 10 pounds. That's 25. And to fight Cejudo, he lost, he was crying, he said it wasn't fair, that he worked his butt off, and blah, 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 right? And then 2 weeks ago, he got busted for the USADA, and he didn't say what it was, and then he releases his title, which you never do if you're 100% convinced that you're not guilty. And then after that, the testing comes out. He tested positive for EPO. I've heard of EPO before, and you can buy that shit on nutrition shops. I don't want to name the nutrition shop because I don't know how legit it is. I don't know if it's even true. But I remember buying those pills, this EPO, and it's in a capsule form. It's not like you've inject yourself. It's in a capsule form. Now, when I read the directions, I remember it helps you with your blood cells, red blood cells, to give you an extra boost of energy. So I remember I think it was three capsules, and I would take those three, and on top of that I would drink a pre-workout, wait a couple minutes, I would drink those capsules, those three of them, and I would go work out, and I did feel the difference. I really did. But I'm a type of person that I don't like taking a lot of shit. I only did it a couple times, and I was like, all right, that's it. I don't wanna use this to go to the gym and I don't want to damage something internally. I don't want to damage my liver or my kidney or blah, 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 blah. So now I don't do that. I don't think I do. It's just pre-workout. And then, you know, after that, apple, banana, and I'm good. I don't, you know, protein shake I still do here and there, but that's pretty much it. But, you know, he was taking those, right? And he got caught. They come out with a statement that was the case. It was an EPO. And then what happened? He released a statement, right, and all that. His teammates put him under the bus. The guy, Sam Calavita, or whatever his fucking name was, or is, I'm sorry, put him under the bus. His training and conditioning coach, the guy that TJ, I don't know if I'm the only one who caught this, have said multiple times in interviews on Joe Rogan, on Brendan Shaw, on all these interviews, that this guy is the one responsible to test all his levels. So you're testing this guy, you're testing your fighter's levels, and it wouldn't even become like a red flag, like, okay, TJ, what are you doing, man? You got some crazy levels of red cells, man. What the fuck is going on? What are you taking? Oh, I'm taking EPO. Listen, man, that's not good. It can cause heart attacks. It can cause this. A lot of side effects that are not good for you. And then not just that. You have USADA that's testing you constantly. You're going to get caught, man. Stop. Oh, I didn't know that my soldier was on this. This goes against the leadership and work ethic and my performance. Shut the fuck up. You know your boy was on it. The same with the fucking head coach. It's like, what is going on? What is going on? Why are they putting him under the bus that and just washing their hands? I don't know if he was on it. And you're still my ninja. Shut the fuck up. I'm still your boy, even though you put me under the bus. If I was TJ and I saw that they both throw me under the bus, I would come up with a statement saying them two were on it. This is the people that knew that I was on this. I cannot do this by myself, obviously. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So my strength and condition coach was on it because he was testing me, right? He was testing me day and night for my levels. My head coach knew because he saw my endurance, man, and my endurance in the gym. So they're just gonna just throw you under the bus like that? Come on. You know? Come on, man. That's not right. That's not right. I don't know if this is a cultural between them. That's just the way it is. Like, oh, I'm just going to throw you under the bus. I'm going to wash my hands because I don't want to get caught. I don't want to be labeled as a cheater. But come on, man. That's not street shit. That's not... You don't do that, man. You don't throw your boy under the bus. You just don't do that. If you get to ride and die with your boy, ride and die on any fucking level. Whether he got caught cheating... Whether he didn't. Now that he got caught cheating, whether this should have done, it just shut the fuck up and not say anything. And now you make it worse. You make it worse for everybody. Now everybody's like, oh, okay, you coming with a statement for no reason. You coming out with a statement for no reason before TJ comes out with a statement. Okay, all right. So it's like a damage control, right? You guys going to wash your hands and you're going to have this guy alone. You cannot blame TJ. He has a percentage of his blame. A percentage of the whole EPO fucking injection shit. He has a percentage of that. But also, people that helped them has a percentage. And they all should be held accountable, not just him. He's taken 2 years that he would not be able to make money. I'm pretty sure he's well, I don't think he has money issues, but still, that's 2 years. And then the head coaches, what? They're going to go and train other people. The strength and conditioning coach is going to go and help other people. They're still going to make money. Their life's still going to go on as they know it. And this poor fucking guy is dealing with all the backlash. Everybody's calling him a fucking cheater and EPO junkie. It's like, come on, man. Come on. He's not the only one. He's not the only one who was in it. He was not the only one who knew about what he was doing. Every one on his camp, which is in the training lab or whatever it's called, the training lab camp or whatever, and his own head coach and his little gym that he has down in OC, they knew. They had to know. They had to know. It's not like TJ's injected himself and tested himself. You can't do that because you don't know what the fuck you're doing. So that was my rant for that. I just thought, I find it really unfair. And then USADA going back and on his other test to find out what's going on. That's not right either, man. I agree with Brandon Shaw. I really do. It's like, if you're going to... Okay, you caught him. You caught him against Anderson Budo. Bravo. Fuck it. Okay, give him a year. Okay, you're going to go back? Oh, what? Another year? Okay, well, now you have to do it to everybody, right? You have to do it to every single fighter that fails a test. If you're going to do this, you're going to have to do it to everyone. You cannot just play favorites now. Might as well just do it with John Jones. Go back to every single one of his fights and find out if he was fucking in PEDs. You know, it's just unfortunate that USADA is doing this and they're just going to stay quiet. But, yeah. Anyways. Welcome back, I guess. Welcome back to the 7 podcast. That was a long rant, but I had to get it out, man. It's not right for... I'm not saying that he shouldn't be punished. Yes, he should have. He should be punished. He's being punished. But the way that his people, the people that he ride and die, that he left his former gym, Team Alpha, to be with his people, they just let him high and dry. They let him in the middle of the desert with no fucking water. That's not cool, man. You do that. If truly that is your fucking ninja, don't post anything. Don't, you know? If you're gonna make a statement. Listen, I was in it too. You know, I knew what he was doing. I helped him. I'm to blame for it as well. He's my fucking boy. I'm not gonna let him high and dry. I didn't know what he was doing. Shit. You know, you know what? If you guys need help, if you guys need me to testify against him, fuck it. I'll do it. You know, but my hands are clean. You just fucking despicable, man. Despicable. If you fucking go to jail, fuck, man. God bless you if you do. You become a snitch so quick, they put you in a pink fucking uniform. Anyways, future fights, I just called them out. I'll make another episode later on this week to talk about the fights. And the future episodes with other people will come as well. I'm back. I'm going to try to do 2 episodes per week. Hope you guys still in it. Hope you guys still tuning in. Check me out on Media 87 on Instagram. And like and share. Hit me up on Anchor if you guys wanna say what's up, and if you guys like this episodes and so on and so forth. Other than that, this 87 podcast, and I'm out.